Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife, Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself.
Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanshore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
So, Matt, we're doing Shift and Steer live here at Deuce Day at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it's just you and I, man.
It's okay. Aaron is stuck in Lake Tahoe.
Lack of transportation land.
That's right. But, man, what a nice day here in Southern California. Deuce Day is great. There's a lot of cars here. This has been great to see.
You know what? They all have the same grill. Did you notice
They all have the same grill. Of course, we're on the roof of the Peterson Automotive Museum, and I hear fire engines and police cars.
That's because we're live, man. Hey, everybody. Thanks for... listening, because this is Shift and Steer, our podcast that we do every week. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us, of course, on iTunes and on Podcast One Radio Network, our Podcast One Network.
Yeah.
That's kind of a...
That's pretty much it.
Can't say radio network because it's a podcast, right?
It's a podcast network.
But normally we... it's Matt, myself, and Aaron Hagar, but today Aaron couldn't make it down from Tahoe. And since we just celebrated the life of Pete Shaporis, Hot Rod icon, and our former co-host, I did want to bring that up. And just that we do miss Pete. He used to do the show with us, and he brought in that whole Hot Rod hardcore aspect. I mean, he was the traditionalist.
PC3. So SoCal and PC4, I guess, brought out a handful of the Shaporis cars, SoCal
Lime
cars.
Yeah, Limefire and his 27.
Limefire is here, which is a very cool car.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
It was ahead of its time with the color and everything because, everybody was painting reds and blacks, and he stepped up with that candy lime green, and, man, it kicked ass.
Do you remember what engine he has, what he has under the hood?
I have absolutely no idea.
No. Well, there's a parachute on the back, so I'm trying to figure out, did he drag race it for
that
a beat?
Car, he had a bolt-in, roll cage, and he had cutouts on it and everything, and yes, he did. He took it to the drag strip. It was one of those, you drive it to the drag strip, you race it, and then you take it home.
Yeah, you could unbolt the cage, tuck up the parachute, and just make a street car.
Yeah, but you had to
it.
Leave that parachute on for effect.
Of course you do, yeah.
Everybody's got to know how bad it is, But Peterson Museum, since they've been here in L.A., been an icon doing this show now. I mean, it brings out all the Deuce Fords and all the people that appreciate them. And with this parking lot, you look out over the skyline and you see the iconic L.A., skyline. And it's happening right here, and that's what's so cool about it. And I remember, I think it was 10 years ago, that Bruce Meyer, he was the chairman of the museum, and we worked together and put together this great concert with Billy Gibbons and Michael Anthony, Jeff Beck.
I remember.
And with Jimmy Vaughn, and it was all part of Deuce Day. And that's what's so cool, because only in L.A. could you get this many cars together and the people and get a band like that.
So this is a pretty big year because this is the first Deuce Day without, like you said, without Pete Shaporis and without Vic Edelbrock.
Exactly.
Or Vic Edelbrock Jr., as most of us know him. Talk about two icons in this space and almost founding members of not founding members of hot rodding, but
the club.
But you know what it is? You know, like, they were so significant in their fields that they did start a generation of hot rodding. You know, what Pete Chaporis did and what Vic Edelbrock did really kind of changed things for hot rodding forever. So it is pretty incredible to not have those guys here, and we will miss them a lot, but they will always be remembered. I mean, walk around right now in this field of hot rods out there now and see how many have some sort of Edelbrock product on it.
Exactly.
Probably everyone out
there. And a lot of them have SoCal Speed Shop parts on them,
they
too.
They do, you know? Yeah.
So the other thing is, like we said, we had a great group of people like Bob Bowder, Bruce Meyer, Jimmy Shine, Peter Chaporis, Alex Exadius, Dave McClellan, Pete Eastwood, and I feel like I'm forgetting, Brian Brennan, all up there for a talk about Pete today to celebrate him. And then later today, as you said, to celebrate Vic. A lot of these cars are going to cruise down to Edelbrock for a celebration of Vic Edelbrock's life. So there's going to be, you know, guys cruising down the freeway, a big culmination of 32 Ford. So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah. So talk about the panel that you moderated with all those wonderful guests. What were some of the stories that were told up there? I know everybody's got a great story either about Pete or Vic or both. There's got to be something that stands out to you.
Well, the thing that
don't
stands,
look all confused and everything.
Well, I'm forgetting. No, the thing that that stands out with me is the fact that the people that sat in the audience, we had a great audience, was that they got to hear kind of not those things that you read about in the magazines, that he built this car and he built that car, but you got to hear kind of the behind the scenes from real friends. And the things that stuck out was that the thing that we know from working with Pete is that he was a gentleman. He was a guy who genuinely wanted to know what you were doing and was interested in it and wanted to help you if he could. Then we found out about Vic is that he was not only a great businessman who took Edelbrock in 1962 to where it was today, but he was a party animal. I mean, this guy liked to have a good time, you know, and that's great.
So we have this great story about Vic a couple of years ago in Monterey. Vic had a yacht, right? Vic was a yachtsman. He had a yacht. He had, like, years ago, he custom built.
Hey, Matt, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was fantastic. He had like a 90-foot yacht. And then I remember years ago, his wife, Nancy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she presented him with a birthday present. And it was plans for a new yacht. Which, by the way, it's like, happy birthday. You have to spend $10 million.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was a new yacht. And I forgot the name of it, but it's definitely something that fits the brand. You know, and he had this yacht painted. The hull was Edelbrock red. A lot of on the deck, the doors and stuff were all painted in Edelbrock red.
That's cool.
And he had it in Monterey, whereas most of us go out and stay at the hotels. He just brings his yacht right in and stays on the yacht. And so he brought it in, and we got a call, and he's like, "Hey, come on down." He's like, "We're having a margarita party." Like, we could see his yacht from our hotel room, and he's like, "Come on down to the yacht. We're having cocktails." I was like, "Of course you are."
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, "Of course you're having cocktails." And so we went down. The yacht is amazing, and he's like, "We've got to do the tour." He has it planned. You know, we went down with like six or seven people, and you basically start in the back, and he walks you through and each
stateroom.
Did
he ever say, "Don't spill your cocktail before the tour"?
No, he definitely heard that ice. Like, if you lost it for a minute, you hear this ice clinking in his glass. He had kind of a Dean Martin thing going on.
I like that.
Which I liked about him. And so he gives you the whole tour, and then the engine room is amazing. The engine room on his yacht is fantastic.
And so he's got a tricked out motor on the
yacht. I'm telling you, chrome railings, painted Edelbrock red engine blocks, and it was a nice little treat to be able to go and do that. But you can see the kind of guy he was, the enthusiast that he was. You know, it wasn't just hot rods. He was a pilot. Vic Edelbrock was a pilot. He would fly all over the place, and then he had his yachts, and he has boats, his cars, his planes. And that's what I loved about him. If it moved, he was in.
That was one of the things that Alex and Dave McClellan said. You know, he was a true, you know, dyed-in-the-wool kind of, you know, "Hey, man, I made some money. Now I'm going to do what I want." It's like I said, the time I saw him, you know, you'd see him at SEMA. He'd be in the booth. He'd be shaking hands, talking to everybody. But when he had a grin was when he was up at Monterey, standing in the pits with all his vintage race cars and going out on the track.
And racing. And then at five, he'd fire up his gas-powered blender and make margaritas. I remember talking to Vic at the track a few years ago. Obviously, he's getting a little older. He's getting a little just slower in life a little bit. And his eyes were going, and that's what was bugging him the most. His eyes were going. I was like, Vic, how you doing, buddy? He goes... Yeah, he's like, FAA took my pilot's license away. I said, my eyes are too bad, I can't fly. He's like, I could see fine. And like, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, he was bummed. They took his pilot's license away. But, you know, he was 74, 73. Like,
I like kind of, he was up there. I kind of picture him like, you ever see Mad World, where Jim Backus has the plane and Buddy Hackett's in there with him? Or am I talking over your head? You're way too young for that.
Is that in color, or was that?
It was a picture book, and they did it frame by frame.
Okay.
No, but Jim Backus is flying this Beechcraft, and he's giving these guys a ride, and he's like, "Hey, will you go in the back and mix me a cocktail?" And, Buddy Hackett, and like at about the third cocktail, Buddy Hackett's trying to go back to get it, and the plane's up and down and all over the place, and he's going, ah! And finally, he goes, "I'll mix my own damn cocktail." He puts it on autopilot. But then the plane takes a dip, and he knocks himself out, and they're like, now what do we do? You know?
That's bound to happen. It's bound to happen. So he missed that a lot. He was definitely doing a...
So, we're live here at the Peterson Museum, so people are coming up, checking out the show, seeing what we're doing with Shift and Steer. And, it was great. It was great to celebrate those guys, and the celebration continues as they cruise down to Edelbrock this evening, but... putting together that group, that's the hard thing, because Bruce Meyer and Carpo and those guys, they all worked hard to build that group, that panel of people that were close enough to him, that knew the stories and knew about him, and could, kind of talk about it and let everybody know what kind of guys they were.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I said to somebody else earlier today, I said, we'd much rather be celebrating with them than celebrating them, because that's always tough. And even when I was up there, it was tough because it's raw, and we were so darn close to Pete. So let's move on to something else.
Okay, so here's a question for you. You were at Boyd's for a long time, been in the hot rod business for a long time. You work with Pete Chaporis and all these great guys. I know you've built roadsters. You've built hot rods like this before. Have you owned one?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. Yes, but not for long, because I'm kind of a muscle car guy.
Oh, I see. You're a muscle car guy.
But guy like Jimmy Shine, he doesn't even know what a muscle car is. Not even his lexicon. It's just one of those things where let's grab Jimmy Shine up and get him up here. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing real good. Great day.
How was it up there? I know you were up there as part of the panel that that Brad was moderating, and I. All this year, it's been one of those really tough years where we're like, we really would love talking about Pete, but then we're like super sad about talking about Pete. But how did everybody do up there?
I think the panel today was awesome. It was the right people, friends and family.
Yeah.
It's something it took me a long time to even be able to do this. And I've thought about it quite a bit. It's so hard when you lose somebody that's so close. Pete wasn't my dad. He was a dad to me, which he never had to be, and he taught me so much. And again, I'll reiterate, I owe him a debt of gratitude that I can never repay.
That guy loved you.
Yeah, I don't know why.
That guy loved
you. That guy gambled. I swear to God, that guy was a gambler.
Every time he said he loved you, though, he was drinking. It was weird.
No, a big hug and a kiss on the cheek, and I love you. And
it's
genuine.
That was the thing. It was genuine.
Sincere. And I love when Tony Thacker said that today. It's like, here's how do you summarize Pete in a word? Sincere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing about Pete was he was so genuine, but it extended from the relationships he had to the people he met. But he was a sincere hot rodder too, because he would genuinely, like, we were in Syracuse a year ago, almost to the day, and we were sitting in that bar that night, and when he started talking about hot rods and building hot rods, he just got worked up and excited, and his eyes got big and bright.
Oh, man, we walked around the Syracuse Nationals just to show, and Gene Winfield picks eight cars that he likes, right? It's
yeah.
like eight or ten or something it, like
for
that.
For the McGuire's
yeah.
Award.
Yeah, yeah. So
Gene Winfield McGuire's Award.
And Gene's great, but he picks, like, wacky cars, like,
yes.
And whatnot. And I was walking around looking at those cars with Pete, and Pete's just pointing out everything that's good and bad. He's like, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right.
He had an evil eye.
Like, I couldn't even see what he was seeing. I don't know what he was talking
about.
Until
he showed you. And you're like, oh, my God. I can see that at 50 feet now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in a... It wasn't with malice. It wasn't with malice.
Absolutely not.
It was just, God, they built this beautiful car, and look at that. And then all of a sudden, like you guys said, your eye went to it every time you saw that car after that.
But you would never notice it otherwise. But also, he can figure out why. He'd be like, I can see what they did here, and they ran out of time, and they were doing this. And like, he just, like, every scenario is in his head of why things happen. You know, like, he knows, like, now, Jimmy, you're the same way. Like, you've done so many of these builds that you could see something and go, well, that's not right, but I know why it's not right.
That's
because
right.
That is a real pain in the butt to do, or you're going to run out of time, or super expensive, or whatever the case may be.
Oh, crap. Jimmy, you're the heir apparent. You're going to have to point it out to us from now on.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'm that guy. But, so, yeah, that's some of the... You know, interesting stuff that Pete taught all of us. We all have a very critical eye, and we're very passionate about what we do. I'm looking at that Deuce Roadster right there. That thing's beautiful.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Look how well placed the wheelbase is. The front wheels are far, you know, they're just far enough forward. Look how well centered that rear axle is.
Dead nuts.
It's right on. It's right on. And that's, you know, that's your 30 foot right there. And that's what Pete would do. Get your 30 foot, and then you get up close.
I'm going to take a photo of it. Now that you mentioned it, and, now I got to take
a photo
of it.
But you're right. It is that critical eye, and that is why he was chose to be a judge at so many things. And it wasn't because he loved being a judge. It was because he felt it was kind of like his contribution back. And because we walked around hot August nights, and, you know, with him and Bobby Alloway, and you talk about getting two guys together. And, I mean, that was incredible. And
I'd never want to be judged by those guys for anything.
Oh, no.
I mean, just in life, not even a car.
They're so judgmental.
I just don't want to be judged by those guys.
But, you know, it's like Pete, you know, the way he could approach you and talk to you, make you feel comfortable, and he was sincere and genuine, and he could pick out and tell you about what you've just done. He'd pick out the good points and then tell you, okay, but you came up a little short here, but you never felt offended by it.
Right.
It was pride. It's like, thank you so much. I didn't see it that way.
Well, we had a real interesting conversation in Syracuse, New York last year. We were all back there, and Rob Ida, he had this beautiful car that he'd built. It had incredible engineering, incredible craftsmanship, and there was one thing on it. And Pete goes, hey, Brad, Matt, check this out. And he points it out to us. And just then, Rob Ida comes walking up, and he goes, hey, guys, how you doing? And he goes, what are you looking at? And Pete turned around, and you could see he didn't really want to say it, but he goes, well, we were looking at that right there. And Rob went into like 20 minutes of, I know, I ran out of time, and I wanted to get the car. He goes, I hate that every time I see it, you know. And by the end of the show, he was giving Rob advice on, like, well, you know, if you did it this way, you know, Rob's like, going, oh, cool.
You know? But you know, Rob walks away and goes, I told you someone would notice. I told you.
Exactly.
I told you somebody would. Jimmy Shine. Your shop that you have now.
Yes.
We went down there for the open house event. It was great.
We haven't
talked about it in a little while. What are you guys got going on over the shop now? What are you building? What's fun?
Oh, God. I mean, I could tell you what we're not doing. It would be a shorter list. We've got so much going on, and it's really good and positive.
You're not
proud.
Doing one of Brad's minivans? So that's off
the
list.
No, it turns out we don't do minivans.
Oh, really?
You almost made that come through my nose. I just took a drink.
Brad does minivans. Brad did minivans.
There's a lot of things that Brad has done we don't want to talk about.
I have
about.
Stuff sitting in warehouses all over the place.
You do.
Yeah.
Someday there's going to be people wanting minivans.
Someday.
Well, we just came back from Sweden. I went and did a show with Mr. Billy Gibbons.
BFG,
the man. We went to Sweden. We took Whiskey Runner, Billy's 34 three-window, which is the last car that we collectively worked on between Billy Gibbons, Pete Chaporis, and myself.
Yeah.
So we just came back from Sweden with that car. It just hit the States a couple weeks ago. We've got it at the shop. And I think this year they've actually worked it all out for SEMA. That Billy Gibbons, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Vaughn are going to play.
You can't even talk about that yet.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll erase that part.
No. Okay, now you can talk about it.
You're such an ass. You're a reliable disappointment. Anyway, we're working on that car right now.
Brad.
Oh, God. Classic Brad. I hate you.
There was an embargo until 1:25, and so, yeah.
I bet you could hear me if I slapped him on this radio
show. That would be so awesome.
Ow, he really did it. Go ahead, finish up.
That's a real neat project. That's something we've been working on for years.
Well, he left them all hanging. He didn't even tell them what's going on with those guys.
Who guys?
Those guys that you were just talking about. Jeff Beck and Billy Gibbons.
Well, I can't talk about that.
I was kidding you. Go ahead.
Stop touching me, by the way.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so right now it stands that we're going to get this thing hopefully prepared. Billy's on tour right now in France. He also called me yesterday and expressed his sentiments about not being able to be here and be on the panel. Just how much his life, I mean, he's a world-class rock star, but just the love he got from Pete and Carol and the family, how much that has changed his life as well. And he's very, very...
Billy and Pete, some of the closest friends ever, those guys.
It's a unique dynamic. I mean, you've got probably one of the top rock stars in the world, and then in the rock star world of hot rods, that's Pete Chaporis.
Yeah.
Hands down.
No, I agree.
So, in any event, it's looking like we're going to go to the next level with the car. It's not going to be done. But it's, and again,
wasn't
it's
it
like,
not done the last time we
it's
saw
it's still not done. No, it's not done.
That's a car guy project right there.
Like, it is. It's the quintessential car guy where it's never done.
It's never done.
It's the fun. It's the journey. It's, you know, the destination.
Are they ever
be
done? Because they're works of art, and they just, you know, there's always an ever-changing feel for a lot of the cars.
We launched Shift and Steer, our first show ever, at SEMA the year that Whiskey Runner made its first
debut. Yeah, I remember we were in the lobby with it.
I don't really remember.
Yeah, well, you're losing some brain cells there, Jim.
Take my word for it.
Cause that.
Have another beer. No,
all right, I will.
It could be paint. It could be paint stripper.
Probably not. I think I've identified the problem.
Okay, is it Brad?
It's both of you,
it's our caustic personalities.
So you're going to bring the Whiskey Runner out to SEMA again.
That's the plan right now. I mean,
and
I
it's going to be a little different. Maybe it's going to have paint on it.
Yeah, and Billy's got his crazy ideas, naturally. Okay. I mean, he's the only guy in the world who could take a chopped 34-3 window and put a Cyclops light coming out of the hood and all the weird
Billy Which was
stuff.
A fantastic feature, by
I
the way.
Think it's excellent. I think it's my favorite part of the car. Yeah. But could I do that and pull it off without being heckled to death? Or you?
Right?
Absolutely not. Brad, no. He's not even involved in this conversation.
I'm putting it in my Astrovan.
Putting in your Astrovan.
Yeah, so that was one of Billy's design ideas, because that's one of the most identifiable things. I mean, there's some really unique things on that car, the trim on the side and everything that you guys did on it, but that's the one, like you said, from 30 feet away, you'd be like, I know that car because of that light.
But then he even takes it to the next level. He carries into, you know, to Jimmy's shop, and he says, hey, so now to make that thing articulate and move around, I found this great helicopter handle, and Jimmy has to figure out how to make the thing work. And that was a piece of art in itself when you were showing me that, dude.
Well, that's the funniest part. Billy comes up with this stuff and gives me these parts and pieces. Like, can you make it work? I don't know. Call me tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah. Did he really come up with a helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a CH-47 helicopter handle with, like, all these different switches and buttons. And it's called an infinity switch on the top of it. And that actually articulates the headlight up, down, side to side, everything. Yeah, and wires are white. Figure out what did what.
Yeah, that's how we save on wiring fees. It's just like, it's bulk buying and everything's white. Where does a guy like Billy Gibbons come across an item like that?
He found it at this crazy aircraft surplus place. We actually have
like
two
somebody found it for him, and they said you'd like this.
Oh no, I was with him.
No, Billy loves to scrounge, doesn't he?
Climbing up these shelves and digging through all these parts, and like I'm just standing down there, and he's like tossing things down to me, and I'm catching him. He's like, just put that on the counter. We're buying that. I said, what is it? He says, I don't know. But it looks cool, so let's get it.
Yeah, and all the wires are white, so that's awesome.
Yeah, you can figure that out.
You can figure that out. So what else you got going on in the shop?
Oh, God.
Shop's busy. When I was there, it was packed.
Yeah, we've got a really bitchin' 56 Chevy in there we're doing. It's a mild deal. It's an LS1 with a 4L65E, narrowed 9-inch.
Cool. We did,
four-link suspension on it. We're in really tight with Magnaflow. Got Rich Waitis comes over.
Yeah.
And we develop the different mufflers and exhaust systems. Another car, as we're talking about, Magnaflow, is the 1964 Carroll Shelby factory race car, CSX 2203.
Nice.
It's and it races all over the world. Dr. Ernie Nagamatsu owns that car, along with the Spurgeon Giovannin car that we've got in the shop. Just came out of the SCTA Museum in Buellton. We've actually been commissioned to make it run and drive. Famous car. It was a Hot Rod magazine cover, March 1949. That's in the shop. We also have, the Cobra, which we just took to Willow Springs. And Rich Waitis did all the engineering to do the merged collectors, the mufflers. He actually built us custom mufflers with all the engine specs, so he knew where it would flow, where's the RPM range. Just really cool stuff.
He's a good dude. We've been working with him a lot as well. I brought my Mustang Cobra down there, and he made a whole custom system for that and tucked it up and hid it all underneath so you don't have to really see it anymore, which is too bad because it looks amazing. So I got a bunch of pictures underneath it. He's all of our cars. He did my Alfa Romeo Spider. He's like, let's just put exhaust on it. We got to do it.
And what a difference it makes.
Yeah.
And then, you start talking to him. You think you're talking to Albert Einstein. He has all these theories, and like, oh, my God, this thing can travel through time. It can do what? I have no idea. Yeah. Can you just, like, explain this? Because I'm kind of simple.
He's like, I'll make it work.
What we need to do is actually come down and, we'll do, like, a podcast or whatever. You guys bring your gear, your little headphones, and this little table over here.
This little table, yeah.
We'll go through the different vehicles and stuff. I think it'd be really fun. We have a lot of really good projects, a lot I'd like to share.
Yeah. Well, what we do is we do a video.
We got to do a little video tour. We don't do too many videos, but we should. We'll get...
We're getting more and more requests for that because people are getting used to watching video on their phones and everything like that.
Yeah.
Waiting in airports, waiting for trains, waiting for buses, whatever it is.
What would be fun to do is let's set it up. Let's just do a Facebook Live video. We'll just broadcast it live. It'll be
fun.
We
just did that with Rich.
Yeah.
Because I think most of the people are supposed to be working at work, but they're watching this stuff.
Well, the beauty of it is while you're doing that, they can ask you questions in real time. So we can have people watch the video and ask questions.
We just did that for the first time, and it was amazing to see how well that worked.
It's been good. I've been doing Facebook Live videos with a friend of mine named Jen and testing out just new cars, but doing it in a way where she's not the real car person. So she's just asking questions like, just normal everyday person questions for cars, anything from just a Ford Mustang to a Aston Martin DB11 or the McLaren we drove the other day around the Grove.
Like, can I drive it?
yeah sure it's gone now,
that means no.
But no, we'll do that. Let's try and plan that because our listeners would love it. And the thing about it is that when they can see things and see it happening and hear from Jimmy, that'd be great. But Jimmy, we appreciate you coming by after the thing that we did up there where we
can we use the louver machine?
No.
Damn. He let me do it once.
Nine-figure Brad.
Yeah. No, but it was a great tribute to Pete and to Vic, and that was awesome having you up there. Then you came down, talked to us here. But you know what? You're going to kind of walk around, check out some cars, and then what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
Are you doing
gonna go hit any of those big waves that are happening?
Dude, I've been thinking about that.
The
I haven't
big
been
waves
in the water
right now,
for like
man.
3 weeks or a month, so there might be some surf this week.
Supposed to be 8-footers.
Yeah, it's kind of small, but I'll work with it.
Yeah, he's used to the North Shore.
Yeah, that's
I'm with you. I love boogie boarding.
Eat it.
He's got a paddle board. He goes around the apartment.
I don't really like the salt water. I love the weather.
I don't like this
beach.
All water.
I just don't like it. Look, it's not for everybody.
That's
true.
Right. Obviously not you. That's all right. That's
go
good.
Surf,
need more people in the lineup.
Yeah.
There you go. See? I did
Stay
that for
off the
you.
Beach, man.
I don't want to invite a crowd.
I did that for you.
In any event,
I'd
like to thank you, Brad. You did a wonderful job today.
Thanks.
That was a nice tribute to Pete and Vic, the panel, everybody. It was a very nice experience.
Yeah.
I know it was kind of hard for a lot of us. But at the same time, I think it was a nice segue into almost a complete farewell.
Yeah,
I don't think it ever will be complete,
No, it won't, because he'll always be around. But that is what got me towards the end, was that I said to my wife, I said, you know, the thing is that all of a sudden it hit me that, wow, this is it. You know, I mean, and I know it's not it for Pete, because he'll always live on because he did so much. He's in magazines, he's on podcasts everywhere, and we know him as a friend and everything that he did. But it's kind of like when you have that up on stage and all those people are there, it's kind of like, yeah, that's it. So, but yeah. But he'll always live on, the smiles and all the memories and everything like that that we all got to experience with him. And we had a great group of people up there. They all had fantastic stories they shared, and that was awesome. And that's what's cool about the Deuce Day, is that so much great stuff happens here. And there's legends that are here today, and there's future legends here today. So that's what we got to remember.
Do you know any information about whether or not people can go and see that panel or hear that panel after the fact?
I will have to find out. I know they were, I don't know if they're filming it or just video casting it, but we will find out. We'll reach out to the guys, and if so, we'll put it on shiftandsteer.com to where everybody can find the link.
Yeah, we'll try to find out some information for sure.
Yeah, because
you guys did such a great job, and everybody in the audience loved it and loved the discussion. So
we had a great subject matter. You know, I mean,
it's easy to have a great conversation when you have such a good subject matter.
I think the one thing that you know, I'll close with is that we would definitely rather be celebrating with those guys than celebrating them.
But yeah,
that won't happen.
At the same time, we need to appreciate what we've got.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on. So, well, Jimmy, thank you so much. Good luck with the cars, and we appreciate the invitation to come down. I think we should really do
that. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take
you
up
on it, when I'm not there.
So, you know,
is Jimmy here? No, we're coming over.
Perfect.
You might get your wish. So be careful what you wish for.
The crazy thing is, I don't know how you can travel and do all the events and get on the road with Billy and shop the helicopter junkyard and still go back and build cars, man.
His wife does all the hard work.
Nikki. There she is. Hi.
Nikki does all the welding and fabrication.
And
Jimmy
Charlotte
travels.
And Kayla, there's my daughter. And yeah, they actually do the work. I just stand around and look really good.
All right, Jimmy, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming by, man.
All right.
We'll see you
Thanks,
soon. Guys. Well, Matt, I think we can kind of wrap it up here at Deuce Day, don't you think?
Yeah, we're going to do somewhat of an abridged show. Cars are getting ready to fire up and leave and head out to Edelbrock,
To Edelbrock for a celebration. And, you know, that's pretty cool. It's, you know, it's one of the advantages of living here in L.A. because there's the traffic, there's the people, there's the high cost of living. But where else do you get this kind of stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to say thanks to the Peterson Museum for inviting us here and putting on this great display. If you guys haven't had a chance to come down here, or if you're planning a trip or something else during the summer and you're going to go through L.A., even if you're stopping at LAX for a few hours, plan a day.
Oh, it's a destination,
and come here. They did such a great job. The museum is amazing. They're celebrating 70 years of Ferrari over there in the Bruce Meyer Gallery, which is amazing. 250 short wheelbase California in there, La Ferrari in there. There's just amazing stuff. Downstairs is the Bugatti room.
I haven't seen any of it yet. I got to go in and see it myself.
It was the French room from the Mullen Museum. They got Bugattis in there. And everything's like coachwork, one of three made, you know. It's like, and the building itself, and they just recently opened up Drago, their restaurant downstairs, great Italian, and they do all the catering and stuff. So if you guys get a chance, the Peterson Automotive Museum definitely needs to be on the list. And by the way, you can make a day out of this. You can go across the street to the LACMA Museum, and you're right on Museum Row. You can hit the tar pits if you want.
Yeah, everything's right here.
But I can tell you, the inside of this museum, air conditioning works.
Yes, it does. It's very comfortable in there on a cool day. So, Matt, where can they find us online?
So check us out at shiftandsteer.com. And, of course, listen to our podcast. Subscribe. That's the best way to do it. If you subscribe on iTunes or the Podcast One mobile app, check us out. And all of our social media is Shift Steer Media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shoot us a line. Say hello. Tell us what you like. And you know what? Send us some questions as well, like up on our Facebook page or
yeah.
Can they email through the website? Or
well, they can message us. Well, yeah, they can definitely. There's a link on our webpage.
Yeah.
And they can also just directly to shiftandsteer@gmail.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
We love
easiest
that.
Way. Easiest way. Shift and steer at Gmail. And I like to learn one new thing every day. And today I can say I honestly learned something, Matt.
What'd you learn?
I learned that we had a choice at the beginning of the show. Did we want bottled water with gas or without?
Yeah.
And I learned that warm, sitting outside with gas is not as good as just bottled water.
The Pellegrino.
The Pellegrino wasn't as good warm.
So you're saying when you have to talk for 30 minutes, don't do with bubbles?
Yeah, no mint bubbles.
No mint bubbles. So, all right, guys, thank you so much.
Everybody,
and,
thanks for
hopefully
listening.
Hopefully next week we'll get Aaron back.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, hey, everybody, Shift and Steer, another edition down. Find us and love us and show us love and tell your friends.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.